like the phrase in the song says, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. And I think all of us, if you've been saved for any length of time, you've had to put that to the test, haven't you? Take your Bible, if you would, and let's turn to Colossians chapter 3. And I want to finish a thought that we started last Sunday night and elaborate some on the scripture that follows some of the scripture we were looking at, Colossians chapter 3. While we're finding our place there, I wonder if there's anyone that has any scripture that you've been memorizing. You've been memorizing your scripture? I'll be bringing our new sheet next week for June. And so I wonder how you're doing on the scripture memorization. How many of you say, I've memorized all of those scripture on the page? Raise your hand. Anyone tough that out, done that? Sacrifice. Okay. Keeping up with your Bible reading schedule? Just a Bible reading schedule. Doesn't have to be the one that I gave you. Okay, just read your Bible every day. Just spend time in God's Word. It's important. Hide God's Word in your heart. You know, there's a lot of things that's biting for our time and attention, and it wants to rule in your heart. And we'll actually talk about that a little bit tonight. Some things that are just trying to rule in your heart, my heart. And if we'll fill our heart with the right things, well, then the peace of God can rule our heart. Brother David? Thank you, Brother David. We love your family. And, well, what a legacy that Dr. and Mrs. Thompson has left. And we praise the Lord for them. Someone else? Scripture? Testimony? You just want to share something God's doing in your life? Maybe you have a prayer request. Maybe you have something that you need God to do in your life. We're not going to belabor it. I'll get right into the Word, but Can I challenge you? Good. Memorize God's word. Don't let the devil, your flesh, make excuses for you. And I mean, there's many excuses not to memorize God's word. But I'm telling you, hiding God's word in your heart is a key to your spiritual growth and development. It's going to help you. It's going to help you when you come against temptation. It's going to help you when you come upon disappointment, discouragement. It's going to help you when you're wanting to share scripture and witness. Maybe it'll be to someone lost, and God will bring scripture to your remembrance that you can share with them that'll plant a seed in their heart. Maybe it's to minister to someone who is saved, and you want to be a source of encouragement unto them. Hide God's word in your heart. You can do it. The question is not, can I do it? The question is, will I do it? Now, it's work. It takes time. It does. And, you know, there's times that I memorize scripture, and I'm just going to be transparent with you. I'm thinking, I need to be doing this. And it's kind of like when I'm praying, and I'm thinking, I need to be doing this. But it's like the Holy Spirit tells me, no, you need to be doing this. And I don't know if that's what you're facing, but it's real now. The struggle's real. If it were easy and convenient, well, everyone would be doing it. And I would encourage you parents to challenge your children to hide God's word in their heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Work with your children, your young people, and help them to get involved in Bible memorization. And I don't mean just to pass a grade or to meet the pastor's challenge, but to fall in love with God's word. Many, many people have a Bible in their home, but very little of it is in their heart. And I just want to challenge you now. That's where the Christian life, that's where the battles many times are won and lost. It's what we know about the scripture. The Bible says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I don't know too many people, too many parents that would say, well, no, I don't want you to do that now. That's profitable. So I'm going to try to discourage you from doing that, or I'm not going to really try to lead you into doing that because it's profitable. And the scripture says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and it's profitable for doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? Somebody raise your hand and tell the church what doctrine is. It's teaching. Doctrine is right teaching. When you get in the scripture and you see the word plural in its plural form, doctrines, that is always referring, as far as I can tell, to false teachings. There's one doctrine, and that is the doctrine of the truth of the Word of God. And all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, which tells us what is right. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But it's not only tells us what's right, it's profitable for what? Reproof. That tells us what is not right. God will reprove you when you do something that's not right because you're a Christian. And God will tell you, that's not right. Is that right, folks? If you're saved, God will tell you when you're doing wrong. And then it's not only profitable for doctrine, for reproof, what's right, what's not right, but for correction. God will tell you, you need to get right. He'll correct you. He'll say, this is what you need to do to make your wrong right. And then instruction. These are good things. And if we put God's word in our heart, the word of God can guide us. You know, life is just full of decisions, isn't it? It's just full of decisions. And it doesn't take but just one really poor decision that could wreck a person's life. But a series of poor decisions could really, really be damaging. And so I just want to encourage you. Hide God's word in your heart. Spend time in the Bible. Get that time to where you're going to spend in God's word. It'll be very, very profitable to you. Colossians chapter 3. Are you there? Colossians chapter number 3. When we met last Sunday, I felt led of the Lord to talk with you and preach some things to you out of verses 8 all the way down through verse number 14. And we kind of ended at verse number 14. And I said last week that I wanted to pick up with verse number 15. And there's three thoughts in verse 15, 16, and 17 that I want us to look at. Now, if you'll remember, before we have prayer and get into this message, there's just some things in verse number 8 that the apostle said, now you're going to have to put off some things. And he's talking to Christians. There's just some things you've got to put off. And there are some things we have to put off. There's just some things that we say, some things that we do as Christians that we need to put these things off. And it's not talking about just at church. This is talking about at home. Listen, God wants me to be a Christian everywhere. Amen. God wants me to live the Christian life at work, at home, at play, at church, on vacation. You listening? God wants us to always be a Christian. And so when he said you need to put off some things, he said you need to kind of clean up some things as believers. And so you need to put those things off. And then he said, if you'll notice in verse number 10, and he said you need to put on some things. And I'm just sure that we as Christians, there's just times that we need to put off some things that we shouldn't be involved in. And there's just times that we need to put on some things that we need to kind of tighten up, right? We need to we need to pick some things up in our Christian life. And he spelled it out here very, very clearly. It's not like that you have to have a Greek lexicon, you know, or concordance to figure this out. Lion's lion. I don't think anyone has to break that down. He said it in verse number 9, he said, lie not one to another. You're a Christian. Stop lying. He said, well, Christians don't lie. Well, now, he's writing to a church. You'll be tempted most, if not every day, to lie in some way, to deceive, to hide something, to exaggerate something. And we have to prove all things honest. We need to be honest with people. And sometimes that's a temptation because we're afraid of what people would think, or we're afraid of the consequences. And so God is saying here, just clean your language, clean your conduct up. And then he gets down. Now what he's leading up to is what I feel that God would have me lead up to eventually is verse number 18 and following. And he starts addressing different ones in the home. And I think that he's talking about home life here and church life. Sometimes I think that we feel like, well, you know, God just talks to us personally and individually. Well, he does, but I want you to notice something that he says here. Notice, if you would, in verse number 15. He said, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body. In other words, you know, there ought to be an atmosphere of peace in the church. There ought to be an atmosphere of peace in the home. And the way we're going to have peace in the home is have peace in our hearts. And peace in my heart and peace in the hearts of those who reside in my home is going to lead to the atmosphere of peace in the home. And when we get peace in our homes, the church is made up of a collective amount of homes, and we're going to have peace in the church. But when we have division and strife, and I'm not saying it's here, I'm just saying that Paul was writing this church and saying this is, you just have to be careful. These things can creep into your heart, into your home, into your church. And he's writing this church and he's saying, now just be careful. You get to make a choice. And he said, let. You see that? Let. Look at verse number 15 again. Let. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now there's three little phrases, one in each verse, that I want to kind of pick up and talk to you about. Number one, it says the peace of God. I hope you know something about the peace of God. Now, if you got saved, you've made your peace with God. The Bible teaches that in Romans chapter 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We were at enmity with God, but when we get saved, we make our peace with God, right? You've heard people say that. I've made my peace with God. And that's what happens when you get saved. But now when you make your peace with God, there's a difference than having the peace of God and walking in that peace. And so he said, I want you to walk in the peace. I want you to let the peace of God rule in your heart. Don't have a heart full of contentions and anger and wrath and strife and division. You see, that's things that the devil wants to fill your heart with and my heart with, so that we will not enjoy the peace of God that God brings when we're saved and our sins are forgiven. We need that peace, brethren. In a world that's filled with confusion, I'm here to tell you, on the authority of God's word, we can have peace. The peace of God in our heart. Then he mentions in verse number 16, the word of Christ. So there's the peace of God, and then there's the word of Christ. And he said, let that dwell in your heart. Let the peace of God rule in your heart, and let the word of Christ dwell in your heart. And then he said in verse number 17, I want to pick this little phrase up, the name of the Lord Jesus. And he said, so here's three things. He said, the peace of God, and then the the word of Christ and then the name of the Lord Jesus. So there's peace, and then there's the word, and then there's the name. And there's things that these things bring to our lives as Christians so that we can have a, we can live a quiet and peaceable life. And I hope that as we look at these, that they'll be a help to you. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight. Thank you for speaking to my heart from these verses, and I pray that you take the truths that you gave to me and help me to share them with your people. Help us to be attentive, and help us to be receptive to your word. And then, Lord, help us to be responsive, not just to receive the word, but to respond to your word and put it into practice in our lives. So we pray for your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I just want to give you a few truths out of each one of these. I wrote down a few things from these, and I want to share them with you. When I look at the peace of God, when I think of peace, I think of an atmosphere. You know, a lot of times you walk in a place and you can just sense tension or contention. It's just, you know, it's kind of in the air. But, you know, peace is the same way. It really is. You can walk into a place or you can be speaking to a person and you can just sense the peace that they have. And so God wants you to have peace. God wants me to have peace. God is the God of peace. He's the God of peace. That's what Philippians chapter number 4 says, the God of peace. God has a monopoly on peace. Did you know that? He does. And God wants to give you his peace. When you get saved, he makes his peace with you. And he wants you and I to live in his peace. He doesn't want us to be always at odds and contentious and filled with anger and wrath. As a matter of fact, when you go back into verse number 8, go look there if you would just for a moment. You see all of these terms that he's using, these emotions. In verse 8, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, evil communication. God said, that's not, listen, those things don't bring peace. Those things bring contention, and sorrow, and division, and strife. He said, you don't want that now. That's not the way God wants me to live my life. And that's not the way God wants you to live your life. And so he said, you have a choice. Again, look at verse 15. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word rule there, is, as I mentioned as we were closing last week, it means umpire. Let God's peace make the call. In other words, when you sense that it's not peaceful, that means there's something not right. If you're a Christian and you're getting ready to do something or make a decision or even say something, and you just have this uneasiness, you just don't feel peaceful about it. You're not at peace with it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Let the peace of God make the call. Let God's peace help you make that decision. Don't say what you're getting ready to say if it's going to take peace from you. If it's going to cause contention unnecessarily, don't say it. Don't do it if it's going to take God's peace from you. Don't go there if you can't go there and still have the peace of God in your heart. Don't listen to that if you're going to listen to it and it's going to take the peace of God. Don't watch that if you're going to watch it and it's going to take the peace of God from your heart. That's what he's saying. So you get to make the choice what you listen to, and I get to make the choice of what I watch, and I get to make the choice of where I go. And he said, listen, if you're going to do these things and it's going to take the peace of God from you, don't do that. Let the peace of God make the call. You'll know when the peace of God begins to flee, and the confusion of the world, the flesh, and the devil begins to rule in your heart. That, listen, that's no way a Christian should live their life, is it, brethren? No. And so too many Christians, people who say I'm saved, they have confusion and division and contention and strife in their heart. Filled with always angry at people. Just seem like they're always at odds with people. Something always stirring. Right? You've met them. I hope you're not one of them. But you know, it'd be easy to get into that mode. Some people just live for drama. They just got to have something going on. And here Paul is saying, listen, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Then he said this in verse number 15. He said, to the which also you were called into one body. So he said, I'm not just talking about something that's personal. I'm talking about something that's relational. When you're with other people, seek peace. Paul put it this way in the book of Romans. He said, as much as life within you is, live peaceably with all men. Didn't he say that? Hebrews chapter number 12 says this in verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We are a people of peace. We want to keep the peace, right? Yes. We want to try to take the peaceful approach. We don't always be stirring stuff up. That's not Christian. I spoke about this morning, just live the Christian life. And it sounds like, well, I'll just go out and just live the Christian life. That's the easy thing to do. Well, not always. Not always. Sometimes being a Christian will get you ridiculed. Sometimes it'll get you mocked. It may even get you persecuted. Just being a Christian, just doing the right thing, trying to be peaceful, trying to take the right path and the high road and do what the right thing. Sometimes people will come against you. They came against him. Listen, what does the Bible say? 1 John 3:1, I think it is. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not. You know why? Because it knew him not. It knew him not. And so here comes our Lord into this old sin-cursed world, walking in love and forgiveness and peace. And you see how they treated him. And don't you expect any different now. But God wants us to live that same way. As Christians, we're followers of Christ. We're followers of Jesus, brethren. And so he said, when you set out to do this now, don't think it's just going to be all peaches and cream and easy rowing and just an easy life. No, you're going to be tested. You're going to be challenged when you try to live according to this book right here. Amen? Yes. But yet the Bible says you have a choice and I have a choice. And here Paul's writing to this church here, and he said, now listen, he said, you let the peace of God rule in your heart. Don't you let things get in your life that'll take God's peace from you, that'll cut off that peace that you have with God, that'll break that fellowship, that communion that we have with God. He said, listen, don't do it. Now, we've all done it, but that doesn't make it okay. And perhaps there's someone in the sound of my voice, I don't know, that you're there now. You've lost that peace. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, that God gives to every one of his children. You've lost that. And if you're not careful, you'll go along in life thinking that you can never get it back. But I'm here to tell you tonight, on the authority of God's word, you can have peace restored in your life. And so he said, let the peace of God. Let the peace of God, in verse number 15, rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body. So, you know, bring worship to church with you, but bring peace too. You know, love the brethren, right? Love the brethren. As a matter of fact, that's one of the evidences of being saved. I've had people talk to me and say, well, you know, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Well, you go to 1 John, John will give you a test there, right? In 1 John, he will. And one of them is, we know that we pass from death into life if we love the brethren. That's right. Now, you can't say that you love God whom you have not seen and not love your brother who you can see. And so when we come to the church house now, when we come to worship, there ought to be peace in our heart. And if there's contention in your heart, now listen, please hear me. If there's aught in your heart against someone in your local church, you need to go to them. That's the Bible way. We're Christians. We follow the Bible. We don't do things the way the world does it. Not anymore, brethren. We're Christians. And as Christians, when there's aught in my heart against you, I need to come to you and I need to make that right. I don't need just to say, well, you know, I'm going to go to someone else and I'm going to try to do everything I can to get everybody on my side in this matter. No, I need to come to you and say, listen, we need to talk. We've got to get a matter straightened out here. Is that right, brethren? Now, that's the Bible way. We're people of the Bible. We're followers of Christ. The only way we're going to have the peace of God to rule in our hearts is to follow the Bible and what the Bible says. You'll lose that peaceful walk with God when you begin to stray away from what God's word says to do. And so he said, do that. Now notice the last part of verse 15 before we move to verse 16. He says this. Now I understand, this is just simple. This is just as simple as it gets. But sometimes we just need to get the simple things down, don't we? We do. And so he said the latter part of verse number 15, he said, and be ye thankful. Can I tell you, peaceful people are thankful people, and thankful people are peaceful people. Have you never noticed that? They just are. When you get around someone that is thankful, you won't hear them murmuring and complaining and tearing away at someone's character and just ripping into somebody and talking about how sorry they are. Not thankful people, brethren. That's right. Thankful people are edifying in their speech. I'm not saying that thankful people don't have their moments, right? Yeah. But when God is really at work in my heart, and when God is really at work in your heart, and you're thankful for what God has done and is doing in your life, that spirit of thankfulness and that spirit of murmuring and complaining is not going to live together in that heart. When you begin to give thanks, that murmuring and complaining's got to go. Right? When peace is flooding your heart, when it's ruling, when it's making the call, when the peace of God is making the call, you're going to be peaceable. You're not going to be contentious and derogatory and berating to people. You're just not going to do it. And I'm not either. And so God help us now. This is a choice, and I hope you'll take it that way. And it begins in verse 14. I ended there, and I didn't go into it, and I'm not going to, but listen, he said, above all things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. You got to love people. And when you love people, you want to be at peace with them. That's right. And that's in your home, that's at your work, that's at your school, young people, that's at church. It's everywhere you go. You're a Christian. Can I say something right here? I'm just going to say it. Well, I keep asking if I can say it. I don't know why, because I'm going to say it anyway. The peace of God's in my heart, and I'm serious. Can I just be straightforward with you? You know something that God detests? Sin, of course. But I'm talking to all of us, but I want to say something to the young people. Look right up here at your preacher. Don't you be one of these people that makes fun of other people and always, you know, thinking you're better than someone and you won't talk with them and your little group's too good for them. Can I tell you, God detests that. And your pastor does too. I hope your parents do. And I pray God would make you detest it. He'd make you sick of yourself if you think you're better than someone else. If you talk down to someone or you try to exclude someone from your little group, shame on you. Shame on you. Don't you be that way. That's not a Christian. That's not a Christian. Say amen with me, folks. Teach your children to be inclusive. Teach your children to be friendly and loving and kind and considerate toward other people. We're Christians. So, well, they don't like the same things I like. Well, that's all the more reason you ought to extend a hand of friendship to them and make them feel part of your group. Amen. And so he said in verse number 14, above all things, put on charity. Love people. Love people. Even when they're not like you, love them anyway. Amen. If somebody has to be like me for me to love them, this church would dwindle down to, well, about a handful. Maybe less than that. Some of my own family got to go. That's terrible. That's a terrible way to live life, young folks. That's a terrible way. Don't you get in the habit of that, to where you think everyone's got to be like you or everyone's got to be a certain way before they can fit in. No, no, no. You be a friend to all young people. Amen. You be a friend to people. You love people. Jesus loves people. You want to be like Jesus? Love people. And as you love people, the peace of God will begin to flood in your heart. The peace of God will make the call, verse number 15. And then he said in the latter part, he said, now be ye thankful. We'll come back to that. Look at verse 16. We're going to move from the peace of God to the Word of God. He said, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. I like that word, dwell. Remember, hold your hand there and go to back just a couple of pages to Ephesians chapter number 3. We studied that word, and I hope you remember when we studied that word dwell. It's a very interesting word, very interesting. The word dwell means to feel at home. You ever gone to someone's home and you know, you're a little, maybe a little anxious or just a little uneasy at first because you're not sure, you've never been there, and they invite you into their home, but when you get there, you know, you just say, I feel at home. I feel at home with this family, or I feel at home with these folks. And that's what this is saying. Look at Ephesians 3. Look, if you would, in verse number 17. That Christ, Ephesians 3, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. These people are saved. Christ was already in their life. But when he's saying that Christ may dwell in your hearts, he's not saying that you need to get more of Jesus or more saved. He's as saved as they're ever going to be. He said that Christ would feel at home in their heart. They would be living such a life that he would feel at home in their presence, that they wouldn't do things that would offend him and make him feel like he's not welcome there. And so when you go back into Colossians chapter 3 and you look at verse number 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In other words, let it be abundant. Let God's word just feel right at home in your life. God's word, just dwell there abundantly. That's what that word richly means. Just let it dwell in you abundantly. Just keep taking in God's word and let God's word just keep changing your life, sanctifying your life by the washing of water by the word, right? That's what the word will do, brother. It'll clean you up. It'll set you apart. It'll make you different. Jesus said in John 15:3, he said, you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you. The word of God in our heart, getting that word in there. And here, the Apostle Paul said, let the word of Christ dwell in your heart richly. I like that. Just let it be super abundant in your heart. Let it make decisions for you. When you go to get married, let the word of God make that decision on who you're going to marry. You hear me? When you get into parenting, let the word of God make that decision. Let it dwell in your heart in a super abundant way, that the word of God will say, this is how I want you to parent. This is how I want you to discipline your children. By the way, when you're disciplining your children now, don't you be like God went to Adam. Adam, who art thou? That's not the way God done it. Don't you do it. You'll mess up. Now, I've made that mistake, and I'm asking you, don't make it. And I didn't do it all the time. I mean, they're still down here, and they're kind of sane. Borderline. Now, we're laughing a little bit, but don't you do that now. Listen, that's not the way God disciplines you, and don't you discipline your children. Our Heavenly Father will teach you how to discipline. Now, God, listen, he loveth his children, and because he loves them, he chastens them. Isn't that what the Scripture says? But God chastens in a way that is loving. Now, it can be stern. God can scourge now. I've done some scourging. But correcting our children in anger is wrong. And I'm glad that God, listen, God corrected me in love. The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so when you look at this passage of Scripture, and it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of God help you make those decisions, the superabundance of God's knowledge and God's word in your heart. Let it make the decision for you. Let it help you make a decision in your finances, on the way you're going to educate your children, the way you're going to parent your children, the things you're going to do, the way you're going to serve God, you see. It's important. It's important. And so if we don't have the word of God in our heart richly now, it's going to be hard to do that. It's going to be hard to do that. You know what we'll do? We'll fall back on the old world's wisdom. There is a worldly wisdom and there's a heavenly wisdom. And what James said, I think it's James chapter 1. It might be chapter 3. I get it, you know. But I do know the Bible says there's heavenly wisdom and there's worldly wisdom. There's earthly wisdom. I don't want that. I want that heavenly wisdom. And I know you do too. And that's what he went to. Look at it, verse 16. Please look down at it again. Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Get that word in you. Get that word in me. Lord, help me put it in my heart. God, help me to have all of your word. I want a superabundance of God's word in my heart, so that when I get ready to make a decision, the word of God will come up in my mind and say, this is the decision you need to make right here. And I'll have a verse for making that decision. I'll have a truth to stand on. I'll have a foundation to stand on when I'm making a decision for my Lord. And you will too. It's important now. I'm a preacher. I'm not going to do that. You're going to mess up. That's what you're going to do. Listen to your pastor tonight now. I'm telling you, people take this kind of stuff lightly. They mess their life up. And that doesn't take but a couple, and you're going to be scarred for life. So you be careful now how you treat what God's word says. This is the word of God. This is not some word of a man. I didn't write this book. God wrote it. It's my responsibility to preach it as God wrote it. And it's our responsibility to live it as God has given it. Amen. Is that right, brethren? And so, listen, we don't need to kind of draw back on this. We need to go full force ahead on this right here now. So he said, now let the peace of God rule in your heart, okay? It's important. Let God's peace rule in your heart. Let God's peace be the umpire. Let God's peace make the call. And he said, not only just in your heart, but as you meet together, keep the peace. Live peaceably with all men as much as in you is. He said, now you be peaceable. Don't you be one of these strife-stirring, contentious people. He said, listen, you'll get in trouble with God. All right? God doesn't put up with that stuff. And then he said, be thankful. That's the way he ended verse 15. Now notice what he said in verse 16. He's going to bring up that thanksgiving again. This thanksgiving thing is important to God. Now it is. He said in verse number 16, I hope you see it there. He said this, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That means abundantly in all wisdom. And he said, if you'll do this, he said, it'll change the atmosphere in which you live. You won't walk around all sullen and dried and pouty and woe is me. He said, you'll be singing. Look at verse number 16. You'll be teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace. You see that word grace? Look it up. Gratitude. You'll have a song of gratitude. That's what that word grace there means. It's gratitude. You'll have gratitude in your heart to the Lord when the word of God's in your heart. See, the reason that people are not no more thankful than they are is they're not letting that word dwell in them richly. You get the word in you richly, abundantly, and you'll be abundant in your thanksgiving. I'm telling you, brethren, it's God's way. It's God's way. And so he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Boy, don't we need wisdom, folks? We need wisdom. This world that we live in just keeps throwing this stuff, and it's anti-God, it's anti-Christ, it's anti-Bible, it's anti-Christian. And we need the wisdom of God to make good decisions in our life, good decisions for our children, our grandchildren, for the direction of ministry. We need God's wisdom. And we get God's wisdom from God's word, and we need a lot of it. And we need to let it dwell in us richly. And then he said, teaching and admonishing one another. And I believe this is really, I think it's talking about worship. I do. I've made a vow to God many years ago. If we're going to do something in the church, we're going to do it around the word of God. I don't care if we're going to get out here and kick a ball around. Let's have a scripture and some prayer, and then we'll kick the ball around. Amen. I'm serious. It's important. And so he said, you do that, and he said, as you do it now, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. See that word grace? Now, there is a grace that is an unmerited favor, and I'm so grateful to God for that grace. But this grace here is a gratitude. Look it up. And so he said the latter part of verse number 15, he said, when you get peace in your heart, you'll be thankful. And he said, when you get the word of Christ in your heart abundantly, you'll be grateful. You will. You won't be complaining all the time and just negative and just always talking down. Nah, you'll be singing in your heart. God will put a song in your heart, a song of gratefulness. And then verse 17, and this is where we'll bring it to a close tonight. He said this, and whatsoever you do. Now, that sounds like everything to me. And you say, well, I'm not convinced yet. Well, let's read on, and you will be. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all. I think we can confidently say that's everything. Whatever you do, do it all. Whether it's word or deed, you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, can I do this with God's approval? Can I watch this with God's approval? Can I listen to this with God's approval? Can I go there with God's approval? Can I take the name of Jesus with me, as the songwriter said? Can I take the name of Jesus with me there? Is God going to be represented well? Is the name of my Savior going to be represented well when I do that or go there or see this or hear that? That's what he's saying. Take the name of Jesus with you. By the way, you are taking Jesus with you if you're saved. He's with you. Is that right? That's right. You say, well, preacher, God wants me to do all that. No, God will let you do all that. God will go with you everywhere you go. Praise the Lord. I don't want to go anywhere without him. I've made some terrible mistakes in my life, and I have. The older I get, the more I realize I want to take the name of Jesus with me. I do. And sometimes I still struggle with it. I'm just being transparent with you now. I do. Sometimes I have thoughts that I know God's not pleased with. Sometimes I'd like to just pinch somebody. Amen. So a preacher, somebody might want to pinch you. You probably feel like slapping me sometimes. I tell you what, if it make you feel better, I'll stand over at the door and y'all line up and slap me on the way out. Oh, listen. God has high expectations for his children. Don't you have high expectations for yours? Don't you? Come on, folks. Don't you have high expectations for your children? I pray to God you do. Hey, enough of this average, just making it, you know. Well, I just hope they finish school. What in the world? What kind of attitude is that? How about being a servant of the Most High God? How about excelling in all things that they lay their hand to do? How about bearing their yoke in their youth? How about learning a good work ethic and reverencing the God who gave them everything that they get to enjoy in life? Let's teach our children some values, brethren. Amen. Be the best, not just make it, not just pass by the skin of their teeth or barely get by. That's not what we're looking for, right? Amen. So he said this, and whatsoever you do now in word, so the next time you get ready to say that, remember, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Is Jesus going to approve of me saying this? Can I get the stamp of approval on this statement I'm getting ready to make? If I can't, then the peace is going to flee from me. And usually if I can't, it's because the word of God's not dwelling in me richly. You see how these intertwine? And so he said, you do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God. Now I want to close with this. Here's three things that I believe if we would start and just make a commitment, Lord, with your help. I need your help, Lord. God, I want your peace. I do. I want your peace in my heart. I don't just want it. God, I need it. I need peace. This world is in turmoil. And somebody, I don't even know who it was. I think it may have been Sister Janet. We were talking before the service, and I said something about these young people. You may have been following this. These young people just riding on in these beaches on spring break in Daytona and Myrtle and they're destroying people's property. It's like a bunch of wild animals just running around fighting and hurting people and destroying property. And I was telling her, I said, have you been following this? She said, I don't watch the news. I said, well, I don't too much. But I do follow some things. I try to keep up current events, but I can understand her statement. It's just this world is crazy. It's crazy. But I'm glad God can give you peace in the midst of a crazy world, aren't you? I'm so thankful to God for that. But you got to let it rule in your heart now. You got to let God make the call. All right? I wonder if I were to pass out a piece of paper. We're going to close with this. And I were to start right here and just start handing out a piece of paper to everyone. And I said, I want you to write down just yes or no. Am I a thankful person? There's something about this thankfulness that really gets God's attention. Take your Bible. You're in Colossians. Look at chapter 1 verse 3. Now this is not the, I'm just using this book as an illustration because we're in this book, the book of Colossians. I am just amazed at how much thanksgiving means to God. Colossians 1:3, Paul spoke about being thankful. Didn't he? Look at chapter 1. I think it's verse 12. Is it verse 12? Is it mentioned thankful there? We give thanks? Yeah. Look at chapter 2, verse number 7. To talk about being thankful there in Colossians chapter 2, verse number 7. Thanksgiving. Is that what it says? Giving thanks, thanksgiving. Giving thanks, thanksgiving. Yeah, we'll take it either way. Right? Chapter 3, verse 15. Does it mention it? And be thankful. Chapter 3, verse 16. We talked about the singing with grace. That word means grateful. Chapter 3, verse 17. Does it talk about the last part of that verse being thankful? Chapter 4, verse 2. Does it mention thankful? Yes. Just this one book, over and over and over again, God says, now listen, you learn what it is to be thankful. I've been very good to you. And I have shown you great favor. The very least you could do is return thanks to me. Don't be an ungrateful person. Ungrateful people are not successful people. And if they have any measure of success, they do not enjoy it. You listening? They can have all that the world could offer and get all the world has got to give. And if they're not thankful for it, they're miserable. Don't you be that person. I don't want to be that person. Let's be thankful. Why can I do that, Pastor? I want to be thankful, and I believe that. I do. Listen, I believe that. I could look across this congregation. I don't see one person. I say, you know what? That's just an unthankful person. That's not it. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. You'll be thankful. It mentions it at the last of that verse. At the end of that verse, you let the peace of God. You get God's peace in your heart, and you'll say, God, I thank you. Wow. God, I thank you. With all this craziness going on in the world, God, you've given me a deep-seated peace. Thank you, Lord. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. Then let the word of Christ dwell in your heart. You know what you'll do? You'll be singing with gratefulness in your heart. You'll be thankful. Thankful people are joyful people. They are. They're singing people. They're worshiping people. Thankful people. And then in verse number 17, he said, whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Just whatever you do, just realize that it's by the grace of God that you can do what you do. Because you are what you are by God's grace. And you'll be thankful. Amen? You want a good home? Be thankful. Let's all stand. A happy home is a thankful home.